the very evening that Jesus sat with his 12 disciples and inaugurated the covenant, the new covenant in his blood, they were sitting down to the Passover meal. And Jesus said, I have longed to participate in this meal with you. And the reason, of course, was not just that it had been a year, but also that Jesus was looking at the cross that was before him. As Paul so beautifully puts it in Philippians, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Do you know that you are Christ's joy? Christ did that for you, Sherry, for Derek, for Luke. He saw ahead already that he was going to call you from darkness into light and that he was going to redeem you. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. Jesus did that for us. When we sing, Just Give Me Jesus, know this, he's already given himself for you. All you need to do is receive. And after our message, we will come to that place at this table where Christ himself gives himself. The very real spiritual presence of Christ in you, strengthening you, equipping you, enabling you by his grace to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One of the immediate concerns that the disciples had and which Jesus spoke to was their worry that he was going to leave them. He had been talking all week long. I go to another place. You can't follow me. In a little while, the world is not going to see me, but then you will see me. The hearts of the disciples were not at rest. They were not filled with shalom, this Hebrew word which means rest and free of trouble and peace, true peace. And so Jesus spoke into that. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send a comforter. I have to go. But I will send the Spirit, and he will lead you in all truth. And he will speak this truth into your heart. Despite your circumstances, you are loved. You've been rescued. You belong to me. I will not leave you as orphans, he said. I think in that moment, those disciples felt like orphans. What, are you going to leave us? And Jesus promises, I will not leave you as an orphan. And we know from Scripture that we are adopted sons and daughters. We have been brought into the family of God. And how does he prove that? He puts his seal on us, his stamp of approval, approved in Christ, and you have the Spirit within you. Now, they were anticipating that at that time, at that table. But 50 days hence, Pentecost would happen, and the Spirit would fall upon them. We live on the other side of that, so we know the reality and the truth that his Spirit lives within us. But they were worried at that night when they all got together. And so, let's read that text from John, and we'll stand if we're able. And Jesus is saying a lot of things to his disciples back then, 2,000 years ago, but he's speaking this truth to us now because we live in unsettled times. We live in times that are worrisome. We can easily be fretful as we look around. And Jesus speaks these words to you today. So hear the word of the Lord. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give peace to you. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. The focus of our message today is peace. And I think it is an appropriate word for us because as we look around ourselves, we see a lot of things that are very unsettling. Would you not agree that there are things in the news that are unsettling? Now we know Jesus said in the Word that before his return, there would be wars and rumors of wars, and there would be all sorts of things. There would be pestilence and plague and all sorts of craziness, almost as though the God's wrath against sin and evil in this world, that bowl is being poured out. And we look around us and we're concerned. We got the news the other day that our president and his dear wife were testing positive for COVID-19. And I'm like, how is this going to affect the election? What is this going to mean? Lord, please, please bring healing to our president and to his beloved wife. But none of this is a surprise to God. He's the sovereign Lord. We're not just Presbyterians because it's cool to be Presbyterian. We're Reformed because we see in God's Word that He is the sovereign Lord. That ultimately, God is directing everything, even the stuff that we don't like, the stuff that concerns us, the stuff that if we were God, we would say, well, I don't think I would put a plague out there. I don't think I would do this. I don't think I'd allow serial killers to be running out in the loose. I don't think that it would be nice to kill little boys swimming in swimming pools with some brain-eating amoeba. I don't think I would do that. This world, though with devils filled. Does that ring a bell? Martin Luther wrote those words. And it strives to undo us. But God is the victor yet. Do you believe that? That He is the sovereign Lord? And here's a word that He speaks in our heart, both 2,000 years ago to His disciples then, and all through the church history, and to us today now. Whatever is troubling you, Art, whatever causes you to fret, I speak peace into that. When Jesus came into the room, not but a few days after He had said this, He breathed upon them. And what did He say? Peace be with you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, will you receive the peace of Christ? When we start this service every week and say, the peace of Christ be with you, that's not just some sort of formulaic, shake your hands, get this done, and let's get to the first song word. That is a blessing. Do you believe in the power of blessing? Do you believe in the power of the spoken word? Out of the abundance of the heart, so speaketh the mouth. Whatever is inside of you is going to come out. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you want to fill your hearts with junk and worry and fretting and concern, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Guess what's going to come out in your actions as you walk this out? Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, peace of God, there's that word again, will guard your heart, the seat of your emotions, and what else? Your mind. Yeah. Body, mind, and spirit. The peace of Christ is available to you, and you may receive that with open arms. Say this with me. I'm going to repeat it twice. Lord, I receive your peace. Say it with me. Lord, I receive your peace. Receive his peace with open arms. Don't let this just be some theoretical, okay, Pastor Edwards preaching his 20-minute sermon or longer. And this is his job, so we'll just listen to him. Or even read it in a perfunctory kind of a way. When you read this, stop for a moment and say, Lord, I receive your peace today and every day. Now, how many of you have orphan hearts? I'm just going to confess here. There are moments this past week when I was acting more like an orphan than a beloved adopted son. You know what I'm saying? What's an orphan heart? An orphan heart is the heart of one who has been abandoned. The psalmist says, even if a mother could possibly abandon the child at her breast, which is almost unthinkable because of the natural bond, even if that were possible, I would not be like that because I love you and I'm with you. This is a promise, okay? And it is a sure promise. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God whose word I praise. Okay? What does that mean? In God whose word I praise. The word of God is sure. And so we can rest assured and we can praise him for his word. By his word he spoke everything into being. Right? In the beginning, it says at the very beginning, God spoke and he said what? Let there be light. That was his first creative act. And then Jesus, who is the manifestation, the incarnation of this great and glorious creator of heaven and earth, comes into our midst and he says, I am the light of the world. And he speaks into your darkness. Whatever your fears are, whatever your fretting is, whatever your concerns are, whatever your doubts, whatever your questions, Jesus speaks light and truth. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know the burdens of your heart. I don't know the things that you are fretting about. We live in fretful times. I'm thinking about one of my favorite heroes of the faith, Corrie ten Boom, and when the Nazis invaded the Netherlands, those were frightening times. And you can well imagine that many God-fearing Christians in the Netherlands wondered what was up. People were getting killed left, right, and center. Corrie ten Boom, who saved the lives of many Jews and went to a concentration camp in Germany for it, she wrote later, she says, fretting and worry is a cycle of inefficient thought whirling around a center of fear. Think about it. A cycle of inefficient thought whirling around a center of fear. Does that sometimes characterize you in moments when you're fretting? Yeah. I don't want to say that that characterizes me because I don't find my identity in a center of fear. Because I want to have the center of my life, the central defining reality of my life, to be Jesus Christ. And like the spokes of a wheel, everything comes off of that. But I'm going to admit that there are times when I do have an orphan heart. And when I do fret and I do worry, and I have to confess that to the Lord. And it's okay because the Lord knows that we are weak, that we are flesh. So you know what we can do? We can confess that. And we can just speak that. We can receive the peace of Christ. My peace I give unto you, he said. Not as the world gives peace, give it I unto you. Now, how does the world give peace? When there's no war, we're good. You know, when our political candidate is in the White House, we're in great shape. Nice. When we are able to pay our bills, whatever they are, we've got a roof over our head, we got food on the table, we got clothes on our body. These are all beautiful things, and don't get me wrong, the Lord is the one who provides all these things. But when we focus in on those things as though they are ultimate things, then we're making idols of them, and we're getting our eyes on the things of the world rather than the things that the Father gives us. In this world, yes, it is a physical world. God created this beautiful physical world. And it is great that we can drive nice cars and have beautiful homes and eat delicious food, because the Lord is concerned about His children and their comfort. And He knows that we need all of these things. And Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows all that, so don't worry. You know, all of the beautiful roses of Sharon, the flowers in the field, they neither spin nor toil. What does that mean? They're not weaving and they're not working. But overnight, after a great rainfall in the desert, beautiful field of flowers, glorious display. And then the hot wind comes and it remembers its place no more. And that's how we are. We're like that. You know, the scripture says that we have maybe 70 years, or if we're lucky, or by reason of strength, maybe 80. And it is all what? Toil. Toil and trouble. Well, maybe not all trouble. But it's work. We have to work every day. And there's work that we do to put food on the table. And then there's the good work that the Lord has prepared for us in advance for us to do for kingdom advancement. And we want to do that. And we want to walk in that, do we not? Now, the world gives all sorts of peace. Peace, peace, the prophets proclaim. But it's not a true peace. It's not a lasting peace. The kind of peace that Jesus gives is peace for now and peace for eternity. You understand that? We have peace now that we can rest. So whatever may befall us, whatever may happen, we can trust in the enduring promises of God that He is with us. And as Corrie ten Boom would experience in the concentration camp, she could say, there is no pit so deep that the love of God in Christ is not deeper still. I do not know what pit you are experiencing. The loss of loved ones, the loss of your health, the loss of income, any number of losses that would cause you, from a worldly perspective, to fret. But here is the word of Christ to you. Peace I give unto you. Peace. Shalom. The abiding presence of my Spirit within you. And nothing can befall you without my purpose being accomplished. Now, if you believe that anything that happens in your life first comes to you through the hand of your loving Father, doesn't that give you peace in your spirit? We're not willy-nilly at the mercy of plague or disaster or storms. That's not willy-nilly. And I'm glad I don't live in that kind of a world where, hey, you know, bad things happen and it's too bad for you. There's no rhyme, there's no rhyme to any of it. Bad things do happen. But the reason and the rhyme is that God is at work accomplishing His good purposes for us and for His glory. Come, let us reason together. That means we have to engage our heart and our mind as we consider these things. And I would say that the fretting and the worries and the concerns that we have to put food on the table or, you know, for our health, they're all legit. But what do we do with that? If, as Corrie ten Boom says, that fretting and the worry is just a cycle of inefficient and unproductive thought, just whirling and whirling and whirling around a center of fear, then we really are lost. But God gives us so much more than that. He does not leave us as orphans. And he says, come unto me. When Christ is the center of your life, you remember the story with Christ in my boat, right? Whatever storm may befall me, I'm secure. Even think about that time when the disciples were with Jesus in the boat and he was asleep and the storm is raging and they are about to capsize. I want to say something about that. You can have Christ in your life and you can still be doing the freaky dance. Okay? He's right there. And he's asleep. And maybe you have said, why are you sleeping? I get that you're God, but I'm not feeling it. Lord, wake up. Sometimes we have things intellectually in our head. We understand, okay, I'm not an orphan. I'm adopted son. I'm adopted daughter. But there's a gap between our experience and our head knowledge. And that's what was being bridged in that moment when Jesus woke up and he stood up in the prow of that ship, the prow, and he said, peace. And what happened to the storm? Immediately it was quieted. I'm praying for you today that you may experientially know the peace of Christ in your life, that peace where Jesus is saying, peace, be still, give up your fretting, give up your worries, trust in me. As he said through the prophet Isaiah, do not be anxious, do not be fearful, do not look around you in concern, for I am with you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God in Christ is with you today. Now practically, as I mentioned from Philippians, Paul gives us some advice. He says, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There are four things that we're to do. And be sure, in all of your supplicating and in all of your requesting and in all of your praying, have a heart full of gratitude. Okay? Let grace, the grace of God's goodness, just flow as you pray. God wants to hear your prayers. He wants to hear your supplications. He wants to hear all of your requests. And he does hear you. Even though you think that maybe sometimes he's late in the delivery, God is never late because he's always doing things according to his plan. So pray. As a practical focusing of your center, Paul gives further advice a few verses later. He says things like, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is noble, meditate on these things. Think on these things. When the stuff on the news makes you do the freaky dance, maybe your focus is on the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? Whatever is true. Man, you can't believe half of what you listen to on the TV. You can't believe half of what you read in the newspaper. But I'm going to say this. In my years as a follower of Jesus Christ, which is getting close to be a half a century, God's promises are true. His word is trustworthy. Fill your heart with his word. Fill your heart with his promises. And fill your heart as you allow the Spirit to speak this truth that Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. And you say in response, Lord, I receive your peace. Walk in that peace today, this week, through this election cycle, through this quarantine, until the day that Jesus Christ himself speaks your name and says, come home. Enter into my rest. Enter into my peace. Well done. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen.